Jack of All Nerds is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. Read us any rule, we'll break it.
It's 8 p.m., kiddies, and you know what that means.
Guy love, he's mine, I'm his. There's nothing gay about it in our eyes.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Oh no, guys! It's Bell Vitor! We need Krispy Kreme Megazord power now!
Welcome back to more Cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
Are you the doctor?
No, I'm the nurse.
Where is he?
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time. Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello and welcome to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me, as always, Mr. Thumbs, Derek Murray.
That's right. Got to do the two nerds, one photo, guys. Got to make sure that goes live with the show.
Yes, and in the booth, Danny Anthony.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Oh. He's got a new intro.
I got a hype man now.
Yep.
I'm a big kid.
I have never heard you do that before.
It scared me a little bit, actually. I don't know what to do.
Are you just concerned, or are you just upset that you didn't have the same
feeling? It's a little of both, I'm not going to lie. But
I need an
adult. And my co-host, D-Rock.
That's much better.
Shit's weak. Wizzy. Oh, jeez. Welcome to the show, everybody. Tonight, our main topic is going to be Game of Thrones.
Dinklage,
that's right.
Dinklage.
We're talking all about the books today, not the show.
I've read the books.
Just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I kid. We're going to be talking about the TV show. We gave everybody a week to catch up. And I'm just going to throw this out there at you. If you could not finish this season in the week that we gave you.
Jeez, right?
That's an episode a night, kids.
I caught up on four seasons this week.
That's just doing the work, man.
I did.
I applaud that. That's something.
But also, like, this season, like, if you were not caught up, even if you had lapses prior, if you couldn't get through season 7, which is, like, the most fast-paced season of all time, like, then you shouldn't listen. Yeah. And you're not a fan. I'm sorry. But, like, there's no way you can't get through season 7.
I really wish you would have filmed like your marathon. And like, I want to do the promo for that. It's like 4 seasons, 300 pounds of popcorn, 5 bathroom breaks.
It was actually more like 3 seasons, because I'm not going to lie. I did skip around a bit on the 3 seasons prior. I watched all of 7, and then I watched about 4 to 5 episodes of each other season and kind of skip. I read the synopsis for every episode, so I know what was going down, but anything that I didn't really care about, I was just like, I don't need to see that.
Well, and one of the things I was telling him too is like, I'm a diehard fan, so I've watched every episode available on more than once probably. But one of the things I was telling him is like, I was like, dude, you can pretty much watch the first episode of each season, skip all the other episodes up until the last 2 episodes, read the cliff notes, and you pretty much watch all of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. You just need to watch like maybe like the series or the season premiere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The penultimate episode and then the finale. Yeah. And you're good.
Yeah. You can basically watch three episodes a season and you will be caught up enough to discuss Game of Thrones.
I was essentially watching every other episode. Is kind of how it worked out.
That's okay. All right.
Yeah. So, except for the end, because the last 2 to 3 episodes, I would just watch them all because that's when shit starts going down, and where the season would start to get interesting for me. So, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Also, we got some big news, guys.
I like big news.
Big news.
Good news,
I bond you. I have a deal for you.
I was going to say, I'd buy that for $1. As you guys know, our show is live right now as it's happening. And then afterwards, when you're listening to it after, it's no longer live. I mean, it was then, but it's not now.
Please tell me that's if not you're the listening news.
To it hold on, then, hold on. When will then be now?
Soon.
But if you are listening to it in podcast form, the big news is that our show is now going to be hosted as a podcast on the Hyper RPG Woo-hoo! Podcast Network.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just came. Yeah. It's very exciting.
I don't know if you heard that.
It's very exciting news.
Yeah.
We are so happy to be a part of the Hyper RPG yes. Podcast Network.
They do so many amazing things. If you guys are not following them, I don't know why you wouldn't be. But if you're not following them and, you know, doing their live streams and watching their content, like, they're fantastic and the stuff they do is amazing. I've had a chance to actually go down and do stand up, on one of their live shows, and it's such a blast. Like, all of those guys, they put in so much work and they do amazing things. So yeah. we are truly honored, to be a part of their podcast network.
So yeah, if you're one of our fans that's not a Hyper RPG fan, get your ass over to twitch.tv/HyperRPG. Check them out.
Yep.
And then if you are a Hyper RPG fan that is hearing us for the first time,
get your ass to Mars. Well,
I don't know what relevance that has, but sure.
But yeah, yeah. No, that's, yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
He just said, get your ass to something, and I was like, oh.
No, I was going to say thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Yep.
We're here to bring you ear pleasure deep and hard.
Yeah.
And so,
not safe for work.
No, not at all.
No, so not don't listen all. To us at work.
Yeah, so that's the big news, guys. It's also time to give a shout out to our Patreons.
Woo!
Oh yeah, Patreon. What? You know what, Patreon? Oh, Patreon. That is so Patreon.
You just
stand up on the counter and just, oh, Patreon, my Patreon.
So if you are a patron on our Patreon, then you get cool stuff. There's little perks that happen. We do have bonus content every month, and this coming month, this September's bonus content is going to be coming up soon. So for as little as a dollar, and as much as more than a dollar, you can be a Patreon and get access to our exclusive bonus content, which are movie commentaries. This month, it's going to be a real treat. A real treat, guys. We're doing Star Wars Episode 2.
Finally.
Attack of the Clones.
God.
I don't like
that. There's 2 minutes of that movie that's worth watching, and that movie's 2 hours
long.
Wait,
which is the 2 minutes?
It's the Sonic the Hedgehog Yoda fight. Yeah. That's it. That's... Yeah, no, that's it. There is nothing else in that movie that matters.
Has anyone made a scene of that
that song,
Sonic,
and then what, digitally putting in coins coming out of Yoda?
Yeah, every time he hits, there should be the coin sound.
I hope to God they haven't, because that needs to happen.
That will also be bonus content.
Now that is now that
September.
Now falls onto us to bring that to the YouTubes.
And also the chapter 2 of my audiobook Fate of the Empires will also be available as bonus content exclusively for our patrons only. And, yeah, guys, we appreciate it because our sponsors allow us to be here in the studio, but, Patreon helps us out with our hosting site and website costs and, equipment and all that kind of stuff for remote events. So we greatly appreciate it and we appreciate you. Speaking of sponsors, guys, it is sponsor time. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I haven't done it in forever.
It's been like a week. It's literally been a week. First up, the Etowanda Roadhouse. Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek Exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Etowanda Roadhouse. Has nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, all that kind of good stuff. For more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse. Also check out The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California location, use the promo code CRIME to get a $5 discount. Also check out Four Color Fantasy's comic book store located in Rancho Cucamonga, California. For more information, visit facebook.com/4CF Rancho, and that is the number 4, not with it spelled out. What can I say about this store, guys? It is an awesome comic book store. Has all your comic collectible needs. A lot of cool events.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're doing something for Batman Day coming up on September 30th.
Yep.
So you're going to want to be there. They also do private movie screenings. There are two of them coming up in November, guys.
Wow.
Both Thor and Justice League back-to-back. Yeah. We're going to be there.
Yep.
Giving away prizes, doing our thing before the show.
I'm not going to lie. I recently went to a comic book store in Universal City Walk. And I remember I walked in and I was like, this isn't Four Color. Like, their store is so good that you will walk into other comic shops and be like, yeah, you don't have the variety you don't have what I'm looking for.
First off, if you're going to a comic book store at Universal Studios, you don't...
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because
no.
I've been in it. I've been inside. Yeah, yeah. And you're like, wow. Like, all these... they have the deluxe trade paperbacks that are all like $1,000.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything... It's all stuff that you would want but could never afford. Like
For sure.
Like a life-size Captain America.
That's a big hit with the ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, but that's essentially all they have.
Just have that shit in your doorway so if someone breaks in, it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah. And also, like, the thing I noticed, too, is, like, they have very little comics. Because they basically just have, like, high-gloss special editions on the back wall. And then everything else is collectible.
Everything else is collectible merchandise that's way, way overpriced. Yeah,
for sure. So. And then, for me, going to Four Color Fantasies, you can get all the collectible shit. Like, they have... all of it. And they have stuff you can afford and stuff you probably can't but wish you could.
And even if you can't find it in the store, talk to the people. They might
They'll order it for you. Most likely they can order it for you. Also, if the item is over $100, they will let you put it on layaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can pay that shit off.
Yeah.
What other store is going to let you do that?
Yeah. No. I know we always go off on tangents, but honestly, like, Four Color Fantasies is, like, it's one of the best comic book stores I've ever been to. And I'm not just saying that because...
Could I get an amen?
They're a sponsor. They're amazing.
Preach it, Brother Murray.
anyway. Get high horse today. You're going to learn today.
Oh, boy. Also, guys, when you reach a certain tier on our Patreon, you get cool shout-outs and stuff like that. And one of those is the Nerd Out app. If you guys are not familiar with this app, go to the App Store, whether you're on Android or an Apple device, and search Nerd Out app. If you are into cool, nerdy events in your area, this app is for you. They have not everything, but they have most everything. And they're expanding all the time into more and more cities, so you're going to want to go check this out. You can just do a search in your area, and if there is some cool nerdy event, they're going to have it on there. So they also have like a top five for certain areas of the world. So here's the top five for the Inland Empire of upcoming events. We've got the Hunchback of Notre Dame, a new musical that's going to be September 16th. Disney's The Little Mermaid, October 20th and 22nd. Marvel Day. September 2nd, which was that? That was yesterday.
That passed.
That was already.
That passed.
All right. It was such a...
That was yesterday.
It was the day that I marveled at. I did. I don't know. Anyway, didn't even know that was a thing.
God damn it.
As you mentioned, Batman Day's on September 30th, 2017. And ReaderCon Year 2, that's September 9th for, you know... readers, I presume.
They still do that?
I'm not really sure. It's, you know, do people read?
I don't know.
I mean, when they can take the book and turn it into a show that has boobs on HBO, does anyone really read the books?
I read articles about what I've seen, and that's pretty much as far as it goes.
Let's see here. I have so much information to give out right now. It's ridiculous. We have a giveaway. We do. We haven't done one in a while, and it's back to school time, everyone. So unfortunately, this is not a giveaway for the grown-up nerds.
Sorry.
It is, if you're a grown-up nerd that has kids, this is absolutely for you. Or if you're just a weird adult, I guess.
That needs a backpack. I don't know.
Yeah. That's you never know. You never know.
You brought it in, and I was like, I want that. I'm a grown-ass man, and I was like, I might take that. I don't know what the fuck I'd use it for, but... I might need it.
It's not just the backpack, Derek. There's stuff in the backpack.
Ooh. What's in the backpack? No, that does that not hold the same?
Oddly enough, that wasn't as bad as Brad Pitt. I didn't know it was possible, but that was not as bad as Brad Pitt. Yeah. So for those of you viewing on Twitch, you're going to be able to see this because I'm going to show it to you. But otherwise, I'm going to kind of break down what it is for everyone listening. And in order to win this, all you got to do is go to our website, jackofallnerdshow.com, and under the extras tab, there's a contest page. Click on that. All you got to do is enter your name, email address, submit. Your information will not be shared with any third parties.
Just me.
Yeah, just Danny. Which is actually, it's creepier that way, but that's fine. So here's what we got here. It is a Marvel backpack, everybody, and it has a attachable Captain America shield lunchbox.
Guys, we can't give it away. I'm actually taking it home. Sorry.
And what's inside?
Oh.
So we've got
But wait, there's more.
We've got a size medium.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters. I think it's Venkman.
Is it Venkman? I think it's Venkman. I actually own that shirt as well.
Yeah, Ghostbusters shirt.
My girlfriend wears it. It's pretty groovy. That's how small it is.
We got an Avengers Assemble sticker fun pack.
Nice.
Oh. You know, in case you like stickers. We've got the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on Blu-ray.
Good. That has nothing to do with Marvel, but I'm glad
No, it doesn't.
No, that's good.
It's not all Marvel in here.
No, it's fine.
Like this Batman coloring book. It's a jumbo coloring book.
It is truly a hodgepodge giveaway.
No, it is. It's all stuff that kids wear, like, I think. There's this little Batman puzzle cube.
I'll take that.
Nope.
Awkward.
Get your hands off of it. None of this stuff is really school related, except for the backpack.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on
And this Spider-Man notebook. That's right.
You are pissing off so many studios right now.
And a tub of Play-Doh.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't care what age you are.
You will play with Play-Doh.
Play-Doh is always a good time.
Yeah. God, there's a lot of stuff.
We've got some Batman crayons for the coloring book.
Is this a Mary Poppins bag? What are you doing?
It is.
He's going to pull out a life-size Captain America. Right?
He's going to pull out Chris Evans.
And then there's this Bravest Warriors from Cartoon Hangover keychain figurine. It's ugly, this guy. I don't know. But if you're familiar with the cartoon, I imagine it would be cool. So that's everything. There was going to be some other stuff, but then there wasn't. So,
but he couldn't fit it in with everything else.
Look, I'm down. I love everything that's in this bag.
What it came down to is I had to save some stuff for our giveaways at the movie screenings coming up.
Fair enough.
So, but there's a lot of good stuff in here. Like I said, if you have kids that are nerds, get down on this. Go to our website and enter to win.
Yeah. How do we win?
Well, it's going to be a random draw.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the winner's going to be announced next week on our live show. So you have a week to enter. One entry per household, per email, per household. One entry per email.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that I guess if you go and make 1,000 email accounts,
you're gonna
be good to go.
Yeah. Mom, so. There you go. May the odds be ever in your favor.
All right, guys. Shall we get on to...
Shall we begin?
Blast from the Past. I've heard that so many times.
I know.
This is where it ends.
Well, like Daenerys says it like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
She does. No, and she does.
How awesome was that for a season opener? I mean, come on. Shall we begin? Credits.
No, it was good.
Which season?
That's.
I watched the beginning a lot of it.
It's like 1 through 7. It's. No, what's funny is Sam, our shout out to Sam, he's been catching up on Game of Thrones, and he messaged me something specific to an episode, and I was like, I've watched every, you have to tell me what episode you're watching and give me the, you can't just be like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened in season 5. Like that doesn't, Sam, you have to tell me exactly what you're talking about. I have been in Westeros since day 1. Yeah. Like you can't just spring this on me.
Yeah. No, it's, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no, we do. We do.
So, let's get into our Blast from the Past segment.
Woo!
And if you are just joining us, guys, for the first time ever listening, what we do is we take a movie from 1999 or earlier. Each of us pick one. We watch it and we review it. and give a quick kind of summation of the film, and then we rate it. Either it's a blast, as in it's good, or it's a ghast, because it's not good. And tonight, we usually start most recent to least recent. Tonight, it's going to be Derek.
Wow. Am I really?
Yeah,
wow.
1995.
Yeah, okay. So I am actually going to go with a goofy movie, which is one of those just hidden gem Disney films. I feel like that it's not, you know, everybody secretly loves this film, I feel like, and it doesn't have the clout that some of the other ones do. It's no Frozen, but it's definitely a cult following. It's one of the few solo outings of Goofy that had a theatrical release. So the story is of Goofy and his son Max. Max just wants to be cool, and he's got a crush on this girl, and he finally got the chance to like ask her out. And, Goofy, thinks that his son is gonna turn out to be a gang member, right? Because Max gets in trouble at school.
Very, very typical.
Very typical. So he decides he's going to take his son on a road trip. Max doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He drags him on this road trip. And then hilarity ensues. And then it's like a father-son bond. Honestly, what makes this movie is the soundtrack. Because Tevin Campbell basically plays the role of Powerline, who's like a mix of Michael Jackson and Prince, and just like
with a little bit of MC Hammer
just put together in animation, like, and he's not even a main character in the story. Like, he's a main plot point, but you see him once, but the standout and Eye to Eye are songs that were written and performed by Tevin Campbell, and they are, even if you've never seen the movie, you've probably heard these songs and you love them. So I actually got to see this at the El Capitan Theater. They were doing a special screening for it, for 2 weekends. And it was, honestly, it was so much fun to see it again on the big screen. Max came out and does a whole dance to like the main song, the Eye to Eye. And like, it was so much fun to just see it with fans. I cried because I'm a bitch. I don't care. It's my childhood. Like,
wait,
this.
What part of the movie made you cry?
There's like three of them. There's
the
like three parts.
Cast,
that, there's, wow. Yeah, the perfect cast, Hiya Dead Soup, and I just want to be a part of it. Yeah, there's that. Look, that's beside the point. The point is, this is a great movie. And if you are a fan of Disney and you haven't had the chance to watch a Goofy movie, I feel like you absolutely need it in your life. I'm going to give it a blast. Mainly because I pretty much
Pauly Shore.
Yeah, it's not Pauly Shore, by the way.
It is.
I totally forgot that it is actually Joey Lawrence doing a Pauly Shore impression.
Fuck off! Are you kidding?
I swear to God, I completely forgot about it until I watched it in the credits just yesterday afternoon, and it was like for my whole life. I was like, oh yeah, no, Pauly Shore. And then I found it's fucking Joey Lawrence doing a Pauly Shore impression so good that you don't even question that it's Pauly Shore.
Well, they probably wanted Pauly Shore and he was like, no. It's like, okay, next. Joey
yeah,
Lawrence.
No, I don't know why.
Either that or Hollywood was over him already.
Yeah, no, for sure. That was like in the Army Now time and they were like, yeah, we're going to go ahead.
Actually,
and
quite a few known voice talents on this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot. Wallace
yeah.
Shawn, Rob Paulson of Animaniacs
yeah.
fame.
Yep.
You have Frank Welker. Yes, a ton of people.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, so. What, Frank Welker did. Who did he do?
In the movie?
Yeah, did he do Bigfoot?
Yeah,
Bigfoot.
Yeah, which is such a great scene. It's so funny. Yeah, so I'm obviously going to give it a blast. It's a film from my childhood that upon rewatch it completely holds up, and if you have kids or if you don't have kids and you just want to enjoy a good Disney film, this is definitely one to watch.
All right. Well, moving back to 1993 is Danny.
Yeah. I did The Sandlot.
Boo. No, I'm kidding.
L7 Weenie.
Butt licker.
You play ball like a girl.
We just need to do a commentary yeah. on The Sandlot.
I just love that that's the ultimate yeah. put down in that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was like the quintessential like summer, like...
Ah, the 60s.
Like, I would look at this movie and I think back and I'm like, my childhood was a lot like this every summer. You know, I get together with my friends. We find an unused diamond.
I mean, the 90s were very similar to the...
I didn't mean the... In the you know, let me review my movie, asshole. I'll let you review yours. How about that? But yeah, it's about Scotty Smalls, who's this new kid in town, doesn't have any friends. He's kind of like a dork. He prefers to play with his erector set rather than go out and, you know, climb trees and, you know, get dirty and whatnot. So he's out and he sees these kids on a sandlot playing ball, and he wants to go and talk to them, but he's not really sure how to. And finally, a kid by the name of Benny Rodriguez comes up and says, "Hey, you want to play?"
The Jet.
Benny the Jet.
Get his nickname right. He needs his moniker.
He doesn't get the Jet till the end of the movie. Yeah. Calm the fuck down, Derek. Calm down.
And it's worthy of that. So like he's never played baseball in his life. He doesn't know how to do it. The kids think he's an idiot. But Benny kind of takes him under his wing, teaches him how to play. He actually becomes really good. And one day they're playing ball. They lose their ball over the fence and they can't go over and get it because this beast of a dog lives there. So Scotty says, "I have a ball," and doesn't tell everybody that's signed by Babe Ruth.
Yes.
And
that's because he doesn't know who Babe Ruth is. So he doesn't know the significance.
The Great Bambino.
Oh my God, you mean that's the same guy?
Some lady gave it to him.
I don't know. She signed it. Baby Ruth.
Yeah. Babe Ruth.
So, like, the entire second act of this movie becomes these kids trying to get this ball back from this beast of a dog. And hilarity ensues, and finally Benny's like, "You know what? I'm just going to jump the fence. I'm going to pickle this dog, and I'm going to get this ball back because this ball's worth more than all of our lives."
Pickle teen.
Delicious. So he does. He eventually gets the ball back and then finds out that the guy who owns the property behind the sandlot is this ex-ball player. He was a major league ball player, if I remember correctly.
Whoa, fucking spoilers.
Oh, he's also the voice of Luke's father. So
we're just gonna ruin everything. Yeah, okay, all right, fine, whatever.
Ruin that for you as well.
So I love this movie. Like I said, it reminds me of my childhood, and it's just so like good in terms of like all of the characters. You learn to love them. Mm-hmm. Even the dog.
Yeah.
Blast for me.
Yeah, and the Sandlot is one of those movies where, like, even if you weren't that kid that went out and, because I didn't play baseball with the neighborhood kids, that wasn't something that I did. But it captures a nostalgia of a generation that is timeless. The way they do it, even if you never did that, you still watch this movie and be like, "I wish that was my childhood."
Yeah,
like it's such a magical movie. That movie is so good.
Yeah, no, if everyone's childhood was like that, you'd be like, yeah, good deal. I mean, my childhood was, I was Scotty Smalls, but I had, instead of an erector set, I had action figures, and then I never had the movie part of his experience. I just spent my entire childhood in that room.
You never got to use your action figures to get back a priceless signed ball?
Oddly enough, my mom was played by Karen Allen, though.
And your stepdad was Dennis Leary?
Fucking thing, yeah. Yeah. Call
Dennis,
Bill.
Dennis Leary playing the most tame version of himself ever.
I would like to point out that in the cast list, he is listed as Bill because he gets a name in the movie. Mm-hmm. And Karen Allen is listed as Mom because that's all she's referred to.
My mother.
Yeah.
A grown woman.
So funny. Yeah, that's a good pick, Danny. I truly love that movie.
And super quotable.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm pretty sure we're at the point now where a lot of people use the expression, "You're killing me, Smalls," and they have no fucking idea what they're talking about.
Sure. Like that, it's so
quotable. I like to
quotable.
Call those people millennials.
Yeah, it's so... No, but it's so quotable that, like, people can quote it and they don't even know that it's from The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how timeless this movie is.
Yeah. All right. I'm going back just one single year to a tale that's very similar to The Sandlot called White Men Can't Jump. And
actually, when you think about it,
they're basically identical movies, right?
Same thing. Starring Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes, directed by Ron Shelton. Basically, they're both like basketball hustlers, and they one hustles the other, and then they form a partnership, and then the hustler hustles the hustler, and then they hustle somebody. There's a lot of hustling going on
and Jeopardy, don't forget
in
Jeopardy.
This movie, and then somebody wants to play Jeopardy at some point, and there, and Rosie Perez shows some titty. And has sex with Woody Harrelson, which is actually the hardest thing to believe about the movie.
That's the Oscar worthy performance right there.
So here's the thing about this film. There's some pretty good like basketball sequences and stuff, and I guess both Woody and Wesley put in a lot of time to like train, and their basketball coach for the film was saying that by the time they made the film, they were good enough to play on like a NCAA, not like a primary team, but like something lower than
like
that.
Like a division
but
two.
Oh, shit,
like,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They got pretty good. And Woody, I guess, used to play in like school or something like that in college and thought he was good, but I guess he got his ass kicked the first day from the coach that they had brought in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of the stuff they actually did. Okay. Like that's actually him dunking.
Oh, shit.
When he dunks at the end, although the it's not a regulation hoop. They had to lower it by like a half foot or something like that because he just couldn't get it. He just couldn't get it.
Well, I mean, look, he's not 6'1".
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the film is called White Men Can't Jump for a reason. Yeah. You know what I mean? Here's the thing I have to say about this film, though. I don't really like anyone in it. Like, I like these actors.
Yeah.
And I think they do a great job, but they are the most unlikable fuckheads in the world. Like, Woody Harrelson is just, you know, he's got a problem. Like, the way he gambles is obnoxious. Even when he finally wins that money from the tournament.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, I can dunk. Pull over right now. I'll bet my half of the money. And it's like, dude, Wesley didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. And even when he failed the first two times, I was like, you could walk away. He's like, no, I'm going to do it. And then he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like the whole movie's like that. Everyone's just kind of a dick. And the way he loses Rosie Perez at the end, when she's like, you go play that game and we're done. And he's like, well, I got it because I made a promise. But also, Wesley Snipes never is like, well, see, my house got broken into and I really need this money to get me and my wife out of my neighborhood. He's just like, I need your help to go play this game.
Yeah.
And Woody's like, yeah, let's do it. Oh, relationships be damned. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing redeeming about these people. And then it ends with them being friends. Whoopty shit. You're still deplorable human beings.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm really torn on this one.
Okay.
Because I guess it comes down to, would I watch it again? And the answer to that is I probably wouldn't.
Okay.
So, and this is one I'd never actually seen in its entirety. I'd seen like pieces of it.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I've seen, I feel like I have seen the whole movie, just never sat down and watched
not
it all the way through. Yeah, yeah. I've basically seen it the way it was filmed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, for me, it's not, like I said, there's some good basketball playing. And I mean, there's a lot of drama there.
Sure.
But it's just, for me, they're not likable enough for me to be like, yeah, I want to go on that journey again. So I'm going to give it a guess.
Wow.
Wow.
Sorry, guys.
All right.
Oh, if you think that's where people are going to hate me, wait till we start talking about Game of Thrones.
I can just see him. First things first, I love Littlefinger.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, just the fact that we're going into this and I don't love Game of Thrones, I feel like people are already calling for my head to be cut off like Ned Stark.
For sure. That 100%.
That's the thing that's happening.
Just the fact that like Westeros isn't your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No. So let's take our first commercial break right now. When we come back, I don't think there's any current events that really need to be talked about. Let's just fucking get right into this Game of Thrones.
Yep. Game of Thrones is basically the current event. So.
All Game of Thrones all the time.
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
When we come back, if you're watching on Twitch, feel free to throw your comments in the comment stream and we'll give you a shout out on the show. Otherwise, feel free to give us a call 909-360-8330 or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
Radio, because the rest is just a waste of time.
Hey, bub, You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Don't go anywhere, or else.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight, we are talking about Game of Thrones, and we're getting into it right now, everybody. So, last week was the Season 7 finale, as they say in French.
Is that how they say it?
I have no idea.
I think it's just Fiend.
But
Finn.
So you have all had a chance to watch it, and I'm sure most of you watched it tonight, because people who watch Game of Thrones are fucking rabid for it. Mm-hmm. I am not one of those people, but I knew that as a nerd I had a responsibility to watch the show.
Nay, an obligation.
Yes. So I had beforehand, I had seen all season 1 through 3. I'd seen all of. But nothing beyond that. And so this last week, I watched most of 4, 5, and 6, and then all of 7 to get caught up so that I could, chat with you guys about this tonight. So this conversation, this is just about the series as a whole. It doesn't have to be about any one specific season, things you love, things you didn't love. I know Derek has some concerns about the internet reacting to certain things about season 7 that we're going to address. So, yeah, let's get into it. Who wants to start? You guys are the ones that love this show.
Yeah.
And I don't, and before, again.
We're going to kick him off his own show again, at this
before,
point.
Before you call for the mountain to crush my skull. I don't dislike the show. I've never been like, I gotta watch it. It just hasn't caught my interest the way that it has caught everyone else's. And you'd be like, would you play D&D? Well, yeah, but D&D's not nearly as serious as Game of Thrones. So there you go.
I'll start with just how I discovered the show, because I'm gonna preface this with, I did not read the books. I was not somebody who even knew they were books, until I started watching the show. So, someone, and at this point, I don't even remember who, because it was 7 years ago. But someone was like, hey, you would love this show. I don't know why you're not watching it. And I got sick 1 week, or for like 2 days. And I was like deathly ill. And I couldn't eat anything and I couldn't do anything. All I could do was literally just sit there and watch TV in between, like throwing up nothing. Like, that's how sick I was. And so I finally was like, you know what? I'm just going to get into the show. I'm going to look it up on the internet. I'm going to figure it out. I had HBO at the time, so I was able, I think they had seasons. They were just about to start season 3. So I was like, you know what? I can plow through these 2 seasons. And I looked it up on HBO, and they actually only had season 1. So I went to Target, got up deathly ill, went to Target, and just bought season 2 after I had watched all of season 1. Because I was like, yeah, I'm in the show to win it. Like, it's done. That's going to happen. I was hooked from the first season, but I also, like, there was no other option for me to do anything else other than let Westeros just take me over.
Yeah. Just fill you deep and hard.
Just fill me deep and hard. Yeah. I
get it.
Yeah.
Like Sansa on her wedding night.
I was going to say, like, most women in Game of Thrones on their wedding night.
And most of the men as well. Yeah. Very, very progressive there.
I like that Iron Fist still has the Iron Fist face in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, still looks like he's smelling a fart. Didn't matter. That was the first time I saw him on screen. I was like, he's still making that fucking face.
Maybe that's just his face.
Yeah,
man.
No, I think it is.
Yeah, no, I think he's just a really shitty actor.
Yeah, I think that's his acting.
Yeah.
He's like, I have to look concerned.
I legit completely forgot that was him.
Yeah, and his girlfriend, Iron Fist's girlfriend, is on the show too. Is one of the
Is one of the Sand Snakes.
Yeah,
who she's nigh unrecognizable.
Oh my god, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, she's got a pretty. She plays a fucking way different character.
I mean, she's a badass.
Still a badass. Yeah.
Absolutely. And
she plays Obara, right? She plays the youngest Sand Snake.
No, because that's the one that
she's the one with the whip. Is her?
Yeah, I think she's the middle Sand Snake.
Okay.
Yeah, she's not the old. She's in the middle because the youngest one is the one that dies in this season.
Well, they all die in this season.
Well, but she's the one that like really dies in this season.
So, Danny, what about your first experience?
I got into the show, I think just like our friend Glennie was, you know, he was hyping it up to me, and I was really kind of hesitant to get into it because it's like, I'm already like three seasons behind. So I think I came in like maybe two or three episodes before the Red Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first kind of big event in Game of Thrones was the Red Wedding. And I'm like, holy shit, this is terrible and awesome at the same time. I need more. Even before like watching the two previous seasons that I missed, I went out and got the books.
I do want to point out that we just got a comment that says it's from Glennie saying hashtag mad I wasn't invited.
Which I, you know what, we probably should have because he is a fucking.
I didn't know he was.
He is a goddamn diehard Game of Thrones.
We have a
fan.
Wing competition based on Game of Thrones every year.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got into it kind of far off, and so I read the books before jumping back and watching seasons one and two, and so I got all the way up to A Dance of Dragons and like just totally fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back and watched season one and season two, and I was just like, that doesn't happen in the book. What are they doing?
Oh, so you're one of those.
And I got on the rage train a little bit.
Now, as someone who has read the books, do you prefer the books over the show?
I don't.
Do you have one preference
because
over the other?
When I find myself, when I read the books, I'm imagining the characters I see on screen. And I'm the same way with like Harry Potter and anything else that's been a book adapted to TV or film.
Yeah. I my girlfriend was a diehard Game of Thrones fan before the show ever even happened.
Yeah.
Because she read all the books. She loves reading like fantasy stuff. So when the show started happening, she already had the story in her mind. Mm-hmm. So she's watching this show and she's that person that's like, no, that's not what happens. And no, that's not. Nope. They don't look like
but
that.
See, Danny's experience is that when he's reading the books, he is picturing kind of a mentally deficient Jon Snow looking slow in the face. With his accent, winter is coming.
That's terrible.
That's what you're picturing.
Winter is coming. It's the only war that matters. We die on the battlefield.
I don't like how Jon Snow can't say his T's. It's always a
He really can't. It's
battlefield.
He really can't.
Winter is coming.
I won the battle of the bastards.
Battle.
Oh, don't even fucking get me started on that. I mean, we're going to get there, but fuck that guy. Anyway,
don't you talk shit on Jon Snow.
Oh,
Look, it took me 6 years to get on board with Jon Snow.
I'm still not on the Jon Snow train.
And the only reason I'm on the Jon Snow train is because I fucking have to be. Like, that's Jon Snow, we can just fuck it, whatever. There's no outline for this how we're doing this. Yeah. Look, Jon Snow,
No. Let's let him finish.
Okay, I'm done. That's pretty much it.
Then I'll say. So I got into the show. I borrowed the seasons that Derek had bought. It was after, I think, season three, because that's I borrowed three seasons from you, and those are the three seasons I watched.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then I don't have HBO, which is mainly the reason why I haven't been watching it. Just because I don't pay for those premiums, and like I said, it wasn't anything that as I was watching it, I was like, oh God, I gotta see this through. The show has a very slow pace to it, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of drama, but I didn't give a fuck enough about the characters to be like, yes, I want to watch them chew scenery for an hour. Yeah. Oh yeah. So, and like the tits and the dongs and stuff like that. If I really want to see that, see it for free on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that sprinkled into my shows to be like, well, there's boobs. So,
boobs.
I mean, that being said, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know? Especially when you're the Red Witch. But that's...
Until she takes off her magic choker.
No, especially when she takes that choker off. Man, that is hot.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
And those tits are hanging down far enough that it makes it super easy to fuck them.
Jesus Christ. You really have been watching Game of Thrones.
I didn't tell you that Ramsay was my favorite character. Oh, Jesus.
Anyway. Mad they killed off Joffrey.
That was actually the best moment of coming
back. It's pretty fucking satisfying.
I started with season 4.
Yeah.
And 2 episodes in, when he dies, it was just like, yes. Yeah.
He actually died way better in the book.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
Defined better, like more horrifically?
More horrifically, yeah. Ooh. He claws his own throat out in the book.
Really?
Yeah. From the poison?
From the poison, yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
Which, okay, then, because when the mountain kills Oberyn, that is the most horrifyingly graphic death scene I have ever fucking seen.
Yeah,
to the point where I'm pretty sure they just killed that actor. Have you guys seen him?
Yeah,
have you seen him in anything?
He's gonna be in Kingsman
2. Narcos. No. He is in Narcos.
He's in Narcos. He's in Kingsman 2.
And he's in Kingsman.
It's a double. That guy is dead.
They're twins, and
one's the stunt guy, and that's the one that died.
I will give you that is, I think that is the height of their gruesomeness. Yeah. That
I watched that scene, and I was taken back to, was it Animal House? What am I? A sit.
It is, and it was one of those moments, too, where, you know, a lot like the Red Wedding and the Purple Wedding and that, like, anybody that knows about Game of Thrones knew that he loses that battle. Like, they know that he dies.
Well, technically, he didn't lose.
Yeah, and that's true. Lost. And I made the mistake of actually reading ahead. And I wish I hadn't. But there was something, like, it was one of those things where I was like, I just needed to know if he was going to make it out of the season. Because he is such a breath of fresh air in that season. He is, like, that guy is so good as that character, and he's so fun to watch, and he's so...
He is, but he's really not in the show
very much. He's not, but every time he is, you're just like, can you fucking show me more Oberyn, please? Yeah, he's great. So I had to know if I had something to look forward to, and I regret it because he fucking meets his end in a horrible way. So then I'm watching this battle, and I'm like, oh, this is not going to end well for you.
Wait for it.
Yeah. And then when it happened, that's how good that scene is, though, is even knowing that it's going to happen, it's so gruesome and horrific that you're just like, no.
Well, it's also a scene I call bullshit on because, and look, maybe it went down that way in the books, but he'd already been stabbed in the motherfucking shoulder with a poison blade. I don't buy for an instance that he, with that same fucking arm, that he could pick him up off the ground and then hit him so hard that he knocks all his teeth out, then flip over on him and crush his head. I don't buy it.
Well, he is a living mountain, so.
He's just a dude.
I'm not going to tell him he can't do it.
He's just a dude until he's not, until he's a fucking zombie.
Yeah, I mean, he is the, I get it. I get it that he's, you know, the mountain, and you're supposed to believe that he's got this incredible strength. But like, that scene was so over the top graphic and just when she screams, I felt the death in my soul. Like,
yeah, cause she's mortified. God, she did a great job.
Oh my God. I get the context of it, but dude, she fucking captures what it's like to watch that happen to somebody you love. Like, that scream is painful. Painful to listen to. But yeah, it is one of those, and look, everybody that's crying wolf for season 7, like, I'm gonna go with you and call bullshit because with that particular scene, you are absolutely right. There is no fuck. I don't care how strong the mountain is. There's no fucking way he's gonna. Every time I watch him do that, when he like fucking one hand in the air, grabs him, flips him over, and then throw. It's like no. You are dying. You are fucking dying, dude.
Yeah. If the stab had been somewhere else, but it was in that shoulder.
Yeah.
That's where the muscles that help you know, lift shit.
Yeah. No. You're dying, motherfucker. Stop. But again, it's one of those things where, like, as much as Game of Thrones tries to root their fantasy in some kind of reality, at some point, you just have to know that it's fantasy. Like, this is a fantasy world that has fucking dragons and kingdoms and magic and gods and fire. And like you don't get both. You don't get to pick one or the other. Like, you have to just believe that they all exist. You don't get to say, oh, well, that wouldn't actually happen. Fuck you. Dragons aren't real. Like, why are you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's entirely a fantasy thing. And you kind of have to go with it a little bit. But anyway, I get my initial point was when Danny was describing Joffrey's death in the book, I was like, the crushing his head was so fucking graphic. Why could we not have Joffrey claw his own throat out? I feel like we deserved it. I feel like we earned it. And yeah, I mean, that being said, though, it was pretty sweet to see it. And yeah, it's fucked up.
It's definitely rewarding.
Top death?
No.
For you?
No. Anytime somebody like that gets their comeuppance, I love it. And I think Ramsay got it bad. And I think Ramsay probably is the top.
Yeah, but we didn't get to see it.
We got to see a lot of it. We didn't get to see him finished off.
It was in the shadows.
No, that was a contextual death. That one was rewarding because it was Sansa that got to stand over while he got eaten alive. Like, that was more of a, you go, girl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you fucking deserve this. But it wasn't necessarily there's Joffrey, because the thing is up until he dies, there is nobody to hate nearly as much as Joffrey.
Yeah.
And then after his absence, every season after that pretty much tries to recreate a Joffrey. So you get your Ramsay Bolton. They're trying to do it with Euron Greyjoy, who I don't think fills that void at all. But they spent, like, you gotta realize that Joffrey was the villain for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And his death you can't take away that reward. Like, every time that guy is on screen, you're just like, somebody fucking kill him.
And that was one of those where I knew he was going to die going into the episode. And it was such a tease at every turn in that episode. I was like, oh, he's gonna die right here. He just drank that. It's the pie. He's eating the pie. He's gonna, nope, it's this. Like, I was so like, when's it gonna happen? And then it finally did. And you're like, yes.
Yeah.
So, okay, guys, we got to take another commercial break right now. When we come back, it's going to be more Game of Thrones. If you wish to join the conversation, give us a call, 909-360-8330, or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
And mine alone, sharp, my lord, as long and sharp as yours.
This is ChaoticRadio.com.
You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio, puny Earth creature. Now, where did I put that Illudium Pew-36 space modulator?
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Apparently there is some technical difficulties with Chaotic site right now, so if you're trying to live stream it there, you're not even hearing this announcement. But the Twitch stream is going through just fine, so if you're listening to it there, then, you know, we're not going to let this ruin our good time.
Game of Thrones, damn it!
That's right.
Nobody can hear it.
So if you're watching on Twitch, hey, whatever. Cool.
Thanks.
Coolio.
Thanks for tuning in.
That's right. And, we'll still have the audio for the podcast version. That's all that matters. So let's get back into it, guys. Game of Thrones.
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
Wiener, wiener, wiener.
I hate the opening, by the way. It's one,
like, Oscars, man. Or Emmys or whatever. It's one something.
Whatever they give
for TV shows.
Yeah, but that's because it's the length of a film, like a feature film. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of characters in the goddamn show.
No.
Westeros is big, man.
Their cast list is done in the first 30 seconds. Everything after that's just gratuitous. I do like that the map changes as we go to different areas and stuff like that. But it is one of those, especially probably when you're streaming it, back to back, when you go through 4 seasons and you have to watch the opening sequence every time, that's where it gets a little.
I can see how if you're trying to speed through, seasons, I can see how that can get a little annoying. That makes sense.
Really, it just makes you wish. HBO Go had a Netflix type thing going on, yeah. You know?
Or well, and I, cut look, that I, as much as I love it, I have fast forwarded through the Game of Thrones intro before, especially when I was like a season behind and I was like, oh, we need to catch up. But yeah. So, even though you're not like completely on board, and it doesn't have to be the one, but like, who are some of your favorite characters on the show?
Arya is hands down my favorite character.
Okay.
And she
it's a good pick.
From the moment that she first meets the Faceless Man, and he gives her the coin, I was like, I so want to see where this story goes. And I felt like it's been stretched out so long, but yeah. When it finally happens, and she goes and takes out, what's his name? Frey?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was so good. It was so good to the point where in the next scene where they show him again and like everyone in there, I was like, oh shit. She's wearing his face. She about to kill every motherfucker in here. Oh yeah. It was so good. Yeah. That was a great way to start an episode.
It was. It really was.
So.
Yes, Jim. Students out of bed.
And also, yes, the big moment where her and Sansa
kill
Littlefinger. I did think it was funny, though, that it's like, well, it was just rather convenient that he dropped down on his knees to beg for his life, so he was just the right height for her to slit his throat. Otherwise, she'd have to, like, reach up or jump.
Yeah,
I think Arya wouldn't have a problem bringing him down to his knees.
That, to me, like, we saw her, like, go toe-to-toe with Brianna Tarth. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't think height would have mattered.
She could absolutely do it, but it was one of those where, like, we just want...
Yeah, no, for sure. That was another rewarding death, because it was not one that I thought... Like, for me, Lord Baelish, Littlefinger is that dude that understands how Westeros is played, and he understands the Game of Thrones. And the minute Bran was like, I don't need this knife, I was like, Arya's about to slice that motherfucker's throat. Like, I knew it. As soon as he gave it back to her, I was like, she's gonna do that. Like, she's gonna use that for bad. 100%.
Now, did they have you fooled? Did they?
Yes, they did. Because, look, I have been wanting Littlefinger to die for a very long time. For a very long time. But he's such a schemer, and he's so good at what he does, that he's one of those characters where, like, as much as you want him to die, he plays the game so well that you almost kind of want to see if he's going to make it. But in this, when she brings Arya in, and she, like, does that whole thing, I thought for sure... Like, they were gonna go at it. Like, I actually thought Arya would probably just fucking kill Sansa. Like, the season had me fooled that way. But when she just goes, how do you plead Lord Baelish? I was like, oh shit!
And then, then you have Arya look at him and go, my sister asked you a question.
Oh my God, bro.
And I was just like, you're done fucked up now.
Dude, that is serious. Like, of all the quotes of Game of Thrones, it is in my top 10 of Arya just with that fucking grin of knowing that they fucking played him. And she's just like, my sister asked you a question. No, I was like, oh shit.
Well, here's where, because they had me going for a minute. And then when Arya is talking to Sansa and she's saying, I've always wondered what it would be like to be you and be the Lady of Winterfell. It's like, no, you haven't. Like, just like in the first season, you said that was, like, not you.
Yeah.
So, like, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I did appreciate his face, because he did have that shit-eating, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Me?
I was like, did you say my name?
And then when the Knights of the Vale are just like, no, they just bail on him.
Yeah. And I also, it's one of the only times, and we can get into this if you want, but it's one of the only times where Bran being the three-eyed raven
isn't creepy.
Actually isn't creepy and means something. Cause when he's like, oh, no one was there. And he was like, actually.
You held this knife to his throat.
Yeah. You basically killed my dad. So go fuck yourself.
So in the last episode of season 7, Bran says the stupidest fucking thing. And it's when who is it that's talking to him? I can't even remember now. But
Sam.
Yeah. So,
it's Sam.
And he's like, oh, I see everything. I can see the past and the future and the present. Why are you here? You just fucking said you can see everything. You just said that.
There's a great tweet. It was in the top like 51 best tweets of that Game of Thrones episode.
Well, like, okay, he could see everything, but he didn't know Rhaegar and Lyanna.
No. It's even better. It's even better because this tweet was Bran goes, "I know everything," and then it hears knock knock. Who's this?
That bugged the fuck out of me when he said it. I was like, "What you?" Huh?
Yeah. No, you are basically a sociopath who has no emotion whatsoever because you have these skills and you don't fucking know who's knocking on your door. What is your fucking problem? Yeah. No, that whole scene, like, I get what it was. And there were other great tweets about like Daenerys and Jon Snow finally hooking up. Only to be narrated by Bran.
Which also
saying that they're related.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I felt like that came out of left field too, because I know everyone has been wanting them to get together, but I never, and maybe that's because, and we can get into this right now if you want to, the condensed nature of the season. There's never any point where I'm like, oh yeah, they want to fuck. I never felt that.
When he takes her into the cave, you never go with Jon Snow into a cave because he's gonna plant some seeds.
But I never got that vibe from either one of them. And then I know like she has a conversation with someone, and it's supposed to be like you can see like maybe she's slightly attracted, but they never have enough FaceTime to be like, yeah, they're gonna fuck. And so when that happens at the end, and then Bran's like, yeah, I gotta tell him. It's like why didn't you fucking tell him before?
Send the goddamn raven.
So that we can have this shitty plot point they're related. Wink, wink. Fuck you. No,
but it is one of those things.
Bran wasn't there when Jon was there. And sending a raven to tell him that, doesn't do it justice. This is something you have to tell him personally.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I get why it happened the way that it did. And I understand your beef with it. And I think... For me, I feel like it was one of those things where you are watching your two heroes of the series finally come together and form a partnership, whether that's through their relationship or even just whatever it is.
Whatever.
But we all know that Jon Snow and Daenerys are related. We've known that for a very long time. I don't even have to read the books and I fucking knew, like, season 4. I was like, oh, he's a fucking Targaryen. You don't have to spell it out for me. Like, I don't need to see Bran go back into the pat. Like, he's a fucking dragon. Like, he's one of those three heads. I get it. Kit's gonna be around for a long time. But it's one of those things where to me, it didn't feel that weird because they are both, I feel like you find them both kind of like giving those looks, but knowing that like there's way more important shit. Going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And so.
And like, Jon even says that when Davos brings it up. Yeah, no, he does.
And like, Daenerys
no
even says that.
Yeah.
Daenerys is, like, they both are kind of like, I don't have time for that shit. Like, yeah, for sure. Like, Jon Snow is basically like, yeah, she's fuckable, 100%.
No.
Like, but the Great War is coming and I don't have time for this bullshit. And she does the same thing where she's like, yeah, like, he's attractive, but he won't bend the knee, so fuck him. So, and then she does. But that's...
Yes, but especially after... Again, it's one of those
when you can't
where,
beat him.
It's like, because he finally decided to bend the knee at the worst fucking possible time. Like, Jon Snow... The reason I am not Team Jon Snow is
Are we moving on to Jon Snow? Because I've got words for him.
Fucking idiot.
Okay. All right, we are. Okay, we're moving on to Jon Snow.
He knows nothing. They've made a point of this.
Yeah. Let's talk about Jon Snow, ladies and
gentlemen.
There's
something I want to talk about, this whole Danny and Jon thing. And it's what's... thing that kind of pisses me off about John, it's like he insisted that they sail together, and if they would have put Daenerys knocking on his cabin door, I would have been a little bit more okay with it than I am with John going to her door.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like he set this whole thing up now, and it's like you're making a stupid mistake. It was better for her to fly to Winterfell, and it's like no, I want to bang, so it's better if we sail together.
Yeah, it seems so out of character. I agree.
I think the reverse probably would have been better.
All I know about the writers of Game of Thrones is they apparently like relatives fucking each other.
No, that's just George R. R. Martin.
No.
He started it. They continued it. They didn't have to make that decision.
I'm going to go ahead and say he was okay with this.
No, this was in the end game.
I think he knew that that's where it was going. I actually think George R. R. Martin, where they were like, hey, so we already have a brother and sister, so that's all the incest in your story, right? And he's like, well, actually, I would really like to see an aunt and nephew fuck. If you guys can do that.
And they hit us over the head with it that season and the previous season about how other nations are okay with that.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, why are you guys giving me this so much?
No.
You think it's going to be because when Cersei takes over, she's like, fuck it, we're fucking. My brother and I.
Bottom of the gene pool.
Yeah. So you think like, okay, that's why they're saying that so that everyone will be okay with it. And then, no, that's not why.
No. There, again, going back to the best tweets, there was a tweet that was like, Game of Thrones is basically a test for how long it takes people to get comfortable with incest. Like, so seven years is how long it takes for you, cause Jamie and Cersei, you're like, that's fucking disgusting. 7 years later, you're like, fuck yeah, John and Danny, let's do this. So 7 years, that's how long it takes.
Like, they didn't know each other. They had no idea each
other
even existed.
They don't know, right. They don't know. We know, but they don't. They have no idea.
It's just one of those things where Cersei
shared a womb.
Game of Thrones doesn't want anyone to ultimately find any happiness whatsoever. And that's the real message here. Like, you found someone you jive with? You guys had good sex? Well, guess what?
You're related! You guys fell out of the same family tree.
Get enough royals in there.
But
they're gonna have some frumpy kids.
Also, I remember because not watching the show, but seeing how the internet reacts to everything, like the Jaime Cersei rape scene.
They fucking lost it. By the way,
I know that it was like that's crossing a line. All I could think is that. And this is one of those, it's where you don't separate the actor from the character. Mm-hmm. All I could think was like, at least a little prick had to sit there while his fucking dad raped his mom over his fucking corpse. Fuck that guy. I know I am. That's all I could think was, I was like, Joffrey's fucking corpse is being defiled by his parents raping each other. Bastard deserved it.
The only reason, and I think this is one of those things where this is where the show, I think, deviates drastically from the book, because the show doesn't really know what to make of Jaime Lannister yet. I think they're moving towards it, especially in season 7.
He goes back and forth a lot.
But he goes back because when he shows up in season 1, like, you hate him as much as you hate Cersei. For a good 3 or 4 seasons, he is
throwing a kid out a window.
Yeah, for sure.
However, I want to say, like, you get those shades of like his honor, like, because he wants to take on Ned one-on-one, and he gets pissed off at the guy who fucks it up for him.
He is a warrior.
Yeah, he's a soldier, but it doesn't justify anything that he does beyond that.
Anytime you think he's doing the right thing, he just turns around.
Yeah,
he's still a
Lannister. So for 4 seasons, you're basically watching this guy, and you are literally comparing him to Cersei, and Cersei doesn't get any better. Like, that bitch gets worse and worse and worse. So you are basically assuming that those two are tied together and they have the same moral compass.
Yeah.
And then, slowly, like the show, slowly he starts to kind of deviate from her just pure evilness, and you start to realize like that soldier code that he has is more intact with who he is as a person. So yeah, he's done a lot of things that he regrets, but at the same time, like, he's not pure evil the way that Cersei is. But they don't know how to, like, completely align that in the way the show goes. So every time he goes back to wherever Cersei is, that evilness just comes out of him. She brings that out. So I feel like you're just never really sure how you should feel about Jaime.
Look, she may be fuck crazy, but she is also a master manipulator, and she knows his buttons.
And I think this whole pregnancy is one of those manipulations.
Yeah.
She ain't pregnant.
I don't think she is either. That really feels like a lie to me, just to keep him under her sway.
Yeah.
And it seems to be working.
And honestly, probably Tyrion too.
Yeah.
I think that was a ploy to.
Well, here's the thing. We like, and given that Tyrion gave that look when Jon and Dany.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've
read every theory.
They had a talk.
Yeah, I
know something that we.
I've read every theory about that, and I'm just not sure yet. My hope is because to me the writers haven't let me down. Excuse me, the writers haven't let me down yet, and I know a lot of people feel like they have. But I think it would be a huge departure from the validity of the show if you make Tyrion the Benedict Arnold of the Daenerys crew. Because that guy has been the dude for the entire time. And look, it wouldn't be outside of the realm of Game of Thrones to kill him off. That's fine. But to immediately turn him into the most hated and despicable person in all of Westeros. Because he fucked Daenerys, you know, to make a deal with his sister. That to me is just, I can't believe that.
Well, there is a prophecy and Daenerys will be betrayed by somebody who loves her.
Yeah, but there's
and
also...
They brought that up this season,
I think. That's like everybody who loves her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. There's everybody
a lot of people
her.
That can
yeah,
do that.
Everybody loves her.
And
wait, what prophecy is that?
And technically, she's already been betrayed by someone who loves her. And that's the Mormont or whatever the fuck.
Oh yeah, that's true.
He betrayed her.
That guy is friend zone level 9000.
But goddamn it, he keeps trying.
But at least he's not dying anymore, huh? So he's got that.
He wish he was.
You know how fucking dedicated you have to be to the friend zone to get Grayskull, get it cured, and then fucking go back.
Yeah, and then be like, yeah, I'll go over the wall.
This will get me in her bed.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And then when they were all like standing around the maps, and she was like, whatever Jon Snow wants. And he was like, fuck me.
Wish I took that sword from him now.
I could have killed him when I had the chance.
So let's address the thing that's been bugging you real quickly about season 7.
Yes.
And that is not the show, but the fan reaction to the show.
Yes.
So apparently the internet's been losing their shit over especially episode 6 of this season. And that is when they go over the wall and they get in the big fight with the undead and then the dragons show up and apparently everyone's been like, bullshit! There's no way that dragon and raven could have gotten there in that amount of time, blah, 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 and everyone's been losing it. As an outsider, as a guy who doesn't love the show, the thing about this season that I don't see why everyone's having this issue is that before, and I'm going to use the example of when they take out the Tyrells and they get the gold, and the gold's being transferred back to King's Landing. I'm going to use that.
This is a good example. We've talked about this. Yeah, this is a good example.
This is my example. So if this were a previous season, that journey to take that gold would have been stretched out over like 3 episodes. And then shit would have happened that would have caused it to go awry. That, in turn, would have had its own side story.
Right.
And it just, you know what I mean? Like, really, really stretched out.
Yeah.
This time, it was just like, it happened, and then, boom, gold's been delivered. Dragon attacks.
Yeah.
Like, they're speeding up. They're cutting out all this extra travel time because the show really is... It's if somebody took the walking sequences from Lord of the Rings and was like, let's make that a television show.
No, they just
that's what Game of Thrones was.
Yeah.
And now it's not. Now they're like, hey.
They learned how to fast travel.
Yeah, we don't need to. Exactly.
Yeah. They found their fast travel points on the map.
We don't need to show.
We've been everywhere on the map now.
All this travel time. Yeah. We can just cut to the, you know, what people want to see. Yeah. Well, and so that's what they've done here.
Yeah.
And so people have been,
it has actually infuriated me, because honestly, you're fucking wrong. Anybody that hates this season because of bad storytelling, you need to go fuck yourself. I'm sorry, but you are wrong. This is my biggest thing is this show has, just like you said, this show has based itself on being a very slow paced show where they are dedicated to every single character that gets brought into Westeros is given base time. No matter what, no matter how small or big, they have some contribution to the overall story. Mm-hmm. So you have subplots and whatever. We are now getting to the point where your cast of 50 has now been cut down to 15. And you are just fucking naive if you don't think that that big to that small is not going to move at a more rapid pace. There is just less story to tell. Mm-hmm. And everything about this show has been culminating to fighting the White Walkers. All of your subplots and all of your substories and all of your houses, we've been told for years that none of that shit matters because the dead are coming. That has been the number one plot point, is that winter is coming. And with winter...
That's not how you say it.
No.
Winter is coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's the only war that matters.
Winter is coming.
Just do Jon Snow impressions for the rest of the show. But yeah, so like you are so naive if you don't think that things are going to start to move at a rapid pace. Like, there's just not, like, this show is going to end. I know you don't want it to. I don't want it to. I love this show. I've been down since day one. I don't want the show to end. But I'm not dumb enough to think that as you start to get to the end, there's less story to tell, that things are going to start to move
and
faster.
And they still have a fuck ton of shit to wrap up in one
season.
Absolutely.
There's so much to wrap up in one season. So to me, I'm like, yeah, let's fucking speed this shit up. Show me dragons. Show me ice dragons. Show me the White Walkers. Bring down the wall. Make people that have never met, make them meet. And like the fast travel shit just doesn't bother me because this show has to end.
Right.
They've already given a deadline for when the show ends. So things have to start moving. We can't do this three-episode arc about the gold getting to King's Landing.
But the thing that made everyone lose their shit was the actual sequence with the dragon.
And the Suicide Squad.
So they're not even arguing that the show is moving too quickly. But their problem was with that they's like, send a raven to Daenerys, and then suddenly her dragon shows up, and everyone's like, bullshit, there's no way that raven and that dragon could have gotten there in time. And maybe you guys can fill me in if I'm mistaken here, but the place that she's at, Dragonstone, is it ever established in the show, and I'm not saying in the books, in the show, how far that is away from Eastwatch? Is that's where they went over the wall, right?
In the show, they haven't established how many, like, the distance that it is.
So here's the thing for me about that, where people just need to calm the fuck down, because when he's like, go send a raven, right? And he fucks off, and they go and they fight and they get stuck in the center of the ice. Okay, it starts out daytime, and then it's nighttime. And then it's daytime again, okay? So it's very feasible. That in itself is at least a day.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know how long they've been standing on the ice. We just know that it's fucking day again. It could have been days. They were all looking pretty fucking frosty and close to death. In fact, one guy did die.
Yeah, and he most likely froze to death. So, yeah. I mean, if they didn't and he did, I mean, he was bleeding out. It's really...
Yeah, and it's just one of those, like, the dead were just like, we'll wait.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna die. So it could have been a couple of days. We don't fucking know. And it's down to the way that they're editing the show to speed everything up. So I don't actually, having watched it, I was just like, I don't see what everyone's bitching about. There is a distinction. They did show light, then dark, then light again. Yeah. So we know at least one day has passed.
And again, we don't need two episodes dedicated to these fuckers stranding on a rock. Like, we just don't need it. It's just not necessary at this point. However much time passed for this speedy fucking raven to get back to Dragonstone. And my other beef is, how can you watch that episode and, like, have that ruin your, like, that episode is so goddamn good. It has everything you want. It has great banter between all of these characters that you love. It's got great action. It's got great graphics where you see a whole army of the dead surround them. It's got multiple action sequences with all of these favorite characters may or may not die. You have no fucking clue whether or not they're going to make it out because they fight the dead like three times in this fucking thing. And then you get fucking dragons that light the dead on fire. And then one of them gets javelined out of the fucking sky. And then it gets turned into an ice dragon. Like, why do you care how fast the raven flew?
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like you're in a world where there are dragons. There are undead. There's a fucking kid who can see into the past, present, and future, unless you're just showing up, and then he needs to know why you're there. But
unless you knock on his door, and then he needs to know who you are.
Right. You can. There's guys that have been brought back to life multiple times.
Yeah, it just...
But a raven flying too fast is where you draw the fucking line.
Like, that's it. That's where you get off board. Like, fuck you. Fuck you. You're wrong.
I was a raven in a past life, and I know for a fact...
Raven lives matter.
They don't fly that fast.
It's not a question of airspeed. It's a question of weight ratios.
Yeah, but people getting hung up on plot convenience to me is just... I just don't think it's fair. Because, again, the show has to start moving. And it is a great episode. Look, like, if you...
But are they really wrong? I mean, any Baltimore Ravens fan will tell you they don't move that fast.
Only when they're on trial for murder. Family Guy was filmed in front of a live ostrich. but yeah, no, I honestly, like, it has been irritating me so much when I see people complain about stuff like that, because to me, that episode it's one of the better episodes of Game of Thrones. Like, it moves at a great pace. It has great action. It has, I mean, that episode single-handedly changes the game for what's to come. You know, and then they show it in the very next episode of how much it changes everything.
I did think it was a little convenient that Jon kills the one walker and it destroyed all of them except the one undead they needed to bring back.
No, absolutely, 100%.
That was a little convenient, but it did show us something that it's like cutting the head off a snake.
Yeah.
And so if you kill the Night King.
Again, it still holds true to the way Game of Thrones does stuff.
Hey, you have to have something that's going to be able to destroy that entire army. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because we already know that you can't kill an army of the dead. That's not how it works. Mm. So for them to, in classic Game of Thrones fashion, they do something where you're like, that, why would you do that? You know 100% that shit is coming back in season 8, and it is going to be a major, major plot point.
Oh, you know, like, especially when Beric brought it up when they were stranded on that rock. He's looking at the Night King, and he's like, somebody's going to have to fight him. And they pans from John to the Night King.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yes, there's the call out.
Yeah.
This is how it ends.
And to me, those kinds of moments, that is so Game of, if you don't think that's Game of Thrones, then you're not a true fan. You don't actually love the show.
I don't know, man.
That is what they do all the fucking time.
Based on how the season has gone, and all seasons preceding, it could go one of two ways, in that John could fight the Night King, or he could fuck the Night King. So... And then find out that they're related. Probably like...
Well, they are related because the Night King is a Stark.
Yeah, the Night... The Night King is Bran, and then it gets real weird.
Then it gets real weird.
That's actually the prevailing theory, by the way. The prevailing theory is that the Night King is actually Bran.
It was weird because they use a lot of prosthesis on the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at him, like, his profile matches Bran's a lot.
So that's like the... Three-Eyed Raven becomes the Night King in some way?
Some way, yeah. I don't know how. But, like, there are theories that, like, Bran keeps trying to, like, go back in time and change stuff.
No, the prevailing theory of Bran being the Night King is that Bran, knowing that the dead would come, went back into the past when the Children of the Forest changed the first men. He went back into the past, got into that first man... to change everything that he was doing with the Children of the Forest. What ended up happening is he stayed in the past for too long, like the Three-Eyed Raven said before him, and said, hey, if you can't just stay here. If you do, you're going to get lost. So what ends up happening is he ends up getting trapped in the Night King, and then he spends thousands of years basically living inside of the Night King to where he basically doesn't exist anymore, and that's how he becomes... the Night King. So he's, as Bran, he did everything he was supposed to stop the Night King from coming. So there's the theory that he became Bran the Builder, actually built the wall to stop the Night King, and then he went all the way back to try to stop the Night King from existing, ended up getting trapped in the Night King, and now he is the Night King. And that's why he's never killed Jon Snow, because there's still a part of him that recognizes that that's his brother from thousands of years ago.
All of this is a result of Jaime Lannister pushing him out a window. So the moral of the story is don't fuck your sister.
That really is the lesson. That's the only lesson you can learn from Game of Thrones. Yeah. That's all that matters. That's the only wool that matters.
God. So I did want to mention real quick, another reason I hate Jon Snow. I know it didn't go down like this in the books. At least I'm pretty sure it didn't go down like this in the books, just because I know that things were different with Sansa in the books than they were in the show. When they're planning to go take on Ramsay, and she has her little heart to heart with John, and is like, you don't know him like I do. Don't do what he wants you to do. And John's like, I got this.
And then he does exactly the opposite.
Two things. First off, your fucking younger brother, he deserved to die if he didn't know how to run Serpentine. That's all I'm saying, right?
Nobody in this show knows how to do it.
Yeah, apparently.
Just football doesn't exist.
Just back and forth. That's how arrows, they go straight. You just don't run straight. You'll probably be fine. But no. And so, but yeah, it was just like, John is such a dumb fucking tool that he's like, nah, I got this. And then you don't got this. And then they would have fucking died if she hadn't shown up with the Knights of the Vale. And it's just like, you fucking twat. Like, the moment it was happening on screen, and he looks up at Ramsay, and I was like, don't you fucking do it. And as I'm saying that, like, people in his army are like, don't you fucking do it. And then he fucking did it. And I was like, this fucking twat.
Yeah. Let's just get on to it. Let's just talk about Jon Snow, because he knows nothing.
Some things.
No, you don't know nothing. Look, Jon Snow.
He does know one thing. Winter is coming.
God, it's the terrible. Only war that matters. It's coming. We've got a little wildlings in.
That's pretty good.
You know what? I'm going to spend time learning how to do Jon Snow. And he's going to be featured on the show, just like Mark Wahlberg and Vin Diesel.
Hodor would be much easier.
Hodor?
Oh, God. Don't Hodor. Hold the door.
It's another reason Bran's a twat as well.
He is. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy.
So I guess the Starks are the real evil.
You know what? And actually, people that read the books are like, fuck them. Book readers actually don't like the Starks. Only the people that watch the show are Stark fans.
Because they're just so pretty.
Yeah. But anyways, like, Jon Snow makes single-handedly the worst decisions of it. How he is still alive. Like, he died. He already died. They had to bring him back to make more bad decisions. Like, he did not make it out of Westeros, and he's still alive somehow. I get it. He's the dragon. I understand. I get it. He's a Targaryen. He's the rightful heir to the throne.
Well, it's not only that. He makes these decisions because of who his father is and what he instilled in him.
But the thing is like, he's constantly being told, don't be your fucking dad, because he died, I don't know if you remember, in season fucking one. He didn't make it out of season one. So maybe holding true to everything he told you isn't the best way to live.
No, but it's the right way to live.
Fuck him.
Just so fucking stubborn, though. Like, even he's like, I won't bend the knee. And then
I can't serve two queens.
And then at the end, when they're trying to work out the fucking deal with Cersei, and he's like, well, I've decided to bend the knee at the most inopportune time. And everyone's like, fuck, why? Why would you do that right now?
Even Tyrion was like, you should learn how to lie, bro. Yeah.
Seriously.
He brought up a good point, though.
Even Daenerys is like, I appreciate it, but you really shouldn't have done it right now. But to reward you, let us go fuck on a boat, I guess.
I'm on a boat, motherfucker.
Yeah, Jon Snow, he makes the dumb... Even things where you are glad they happen, like the Suicide Squad episode, the D&D episode, which is a great episode.
I like to call it the Expendables.
No, it's good for sure. What? It's Suicide Squad, Expendables, D&D, whatever you want to call it.
When they padded that party with a bunch of people you'd never seen before.
They were the red shirts.
Red shirts, yeah.
Yeah, no, they were pretty much an away team.
Yeah, no, yeah. They straight up covered every nerd basis that you could possibly imagine in a single episode. But like, even that is like, as much as I love that episode, that is the dumbest fucking plan of all time. Like, hey, I'm going to take a small squadron of soldiers that if we don't die by the army of the dead, the cold will probably kill us and we'll probably all freeze to death. But I'm just going to take these small few people. We're going to go. We're going to kidnap a person of the army. Like, what? Immediately someone should have been like, no, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, it was a dumb plan to start with.
It was a dumb plan to start with. It was so dumb. And Jon Snow is notorious for those. Oh, everything that comes out of his mouth is a dumb fucking plan. I get it.
How many times has he gone over the wall, like, by himself?
Too many.
Do something?
Yeah.
Too many.
With a small group.
Yeah.
Too many fucking times.
Yeah.
But hey, he's come back every time. Yep.
But even Hardhome, which is single-handedly one of the best episodes of Game of Thrones, even Hardhome is Jon Snow's fault. He's the fucking moron that was like, yeah, I'm just going to take a couple boats and really nobody with me. And I'm going to go over and see what happens. We're just going to, you guys want to come? Wildlings, you good? No, I'm alone. I didn't bring anybody from the Night's Watch. It's literally just me, so.
Well, in all fairness, he could have had all the Night's Watch there. I don't think that would have made a difference.
No. The majority of them would have pissed themselves and then died.
They really are the most useless fucking guards of all time.
Good at killing each other, though, huh?
Yeah, man. Fuck. You want to talk about killing your brothers?
Call Tanner from Gin fucking Alley.
For the watch!
So what would have been some of your just favorite moments from the show?
Like, for sure.
Or from any season?
So definitely, I have a few, and I've thought about this a lot. So Hardhome is single-handedly one of my most favorite episodes. I think as much as I've shit on John's decisions and the way he works, like that episode just, it's the first time you get to see the Night King and his powers and the way they illustrate it and the battle and everything about that episode. It's haunting. Like the come at me crow, as funny as that is, when it happened.
It's exactly what it was though.
No, it was, but before the memes, it was one of the most it blew my fucking mind watching that. Like just seeing this dude go through, like Jon Snow went through this huge battle, killed one White Walker, lost so many people, and thought he escaped, and thought everything was gonna be fine. And you see this fucking guy walk out and literally raise everybody that just died and recruited them in a single hand. Like that, game changer. Like that is such an incredible episode. So that is one of those moments in Game of Thrones that just, I'll never ever forget it.
I'll never forget it either because it's really dumb that they can't swim. I'm just saying. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
They're dead.
They can still move. They can walk and flail their arms and attack things, which means they could even dog paddle. Like, I'm just saying, the fact that they can't, it's a stupid plot point. And you can't tell me that it's not a stupid plot point. All right,
fine.
It just had to be some reason people could survive on that tiny island, I guess.
One of my other favorite moments in Game of Thrones is when is when the slavers discover that Daenerys can speak Valyrian. That is when, like, the fucking dragon won't obey, and then she just fucking lights them all on fire. It's just one of those clever moments where you're like, oh, you don't speak Spanish, huh? And they just assume that she doesn't speak it, and then she just fucking takes over the Unsullied, and like that was one of the greatest moments of Game of Thrones. Like, I loved that episode
so much. Such a good, like, manipulative deal that she made with them.
Yep.
They're mine now? Okay, yes, kill them all. Wait, what?
Yeah, so those two, there's some moments in season 7 which we've already talked about, but those are two big moments in Game of Thrones. And then the other one, which it's one of those slow burn moments, but it's when Varys and Littlefinger are speaking and they do the whole chaos is a ladder. To me, just from a dialogue perspective, these are two characters that have constantly been behind the scenes trying to manipulate everybody in Westeros.
Yeah.
And watching those two speak about what it is they stand for and like it's dialogue wise, it's one of the greatest scenes Game of Thrones I think has ever done. So those three moments are the biggest moments in Game of Thrones for me.
Danny?
Honestly, one of the moments that got me really hyped was from this season, and it's the Clegane Bowl kind of confirmation that we know it's going to be Sandor Clegane versus the Mountain, and that's going to be epic when it goes down.
Yeah.
And I want them to draw that out a little bit. I don't want it to be, you know, just wham, bam, thank you, man, we're done. That needs to be big.
When I saw the, because he kind of told me about what happens to the Mountain before I actually saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And when that actually happens and the guy introduces him to Cersei for the first time, way to bury the fucking lead. Where he's just like, he's taken a vow of silence. Like, motherfucker, he's purple.
Just call him a zombie and get it over with.
Just taking a vow of silence. Get the fuck out of here.
That and then the end of season 6 where Bran goes to the Tower of Joy and finds out who Jon is. Kind of who Jon is.
Before it's revealed to us.
Before it's revealed to us. And they do that shot of the baby opening his eyes and then immediately it's Jon staring back at the camera.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
that cut. I kind of just kind of jumped out of my seat and squealed. And then Littlefinger's death.
It was a good moment.
It was such a great moment.
That guy's such a...
Especially when he...
Not a bastard. You can't... In context of the show.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But you know what I mean. He's a bastard.
Yeah. Just like how he just got so pathetic so quick because he had no words left to say that was nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And he was just.
And
so
he was trying though, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was.
If we could speak alone.
No,
when he started the like the waterwork type of thing, I was like, "What the fuck?
You're dead."
I was like, "Dude, you are actually not very good at this part of this." Which shows because he's used to being in control.
Yeah.
And so to see him in a position where he's like, "All right, I'll try remorse. What's that feel like?"
Yeah, but honestly, I think that's one of the things that made that scene so great is that you get to see Littlefinger completely out of his element. Like, he has never been surprised by anything that has happened in the last 7 seasons. Like, nothing has, and he even tells Sansa, that's one of the conversations that they have, is like, you have to predict every possible outcome, and that's, so you'll never be surprised. And the one time he doesn't do that, it fucking costs him his life. But yeah, I agree. That is one of the greatest. It's a great moment in Game of Thrones.
I was talking with a friend yesterday about this, and we kind of agreed that Sansa and Arya are one half of like one amazing person, like one epic person.
Mm-hmm.
Sansa has, she knows the politics, she knows the game now, and Arya is just a badass.
Yeah, she's a fucking warrior, man.
Like,
yeah.
When we find out that Sansa's not the one that kind of swings the sword on Baelish, it's like, but in a way she kind of did because Arya's that kind of right hand for her.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and also like seeing them finally come together. They've been apart for so long and they're, I mean, you watch their arcs and again, Sansa is so different, from who she is in the books. I mean, she's still in the Vale, right? In the books.
Yeah. She hasn't gone back to
nothing that she goes through in this.
No wedding night rape.
Yeah, no wedding night rape, no Ramsay Bolton, none of that shit. But to me, she is one of those people that has like grew on me because she's fucking despicable for 5 seasons. Like I don't give a shit about anything that happens to her because I feel like it's all her fault. Like, and I'm not. Please don't misunderstand me and say that I'm saying rape victims. Like, that is clearly not her fault, but I'm talking about everything that she does. Like, the reason that letter is such a big controversy between Sansa and Arya is that, like, Arya's right. Like, Sansa, it was so quick to, she was so naive that she honestly believed that the Lannisters were going to spare her father's life. She legit believed that. And she spent years discovering that people are full of shit and they're all liars and they're despicable and nobody has her interest in mind. Yeah. But it took her to go through all of these horrible things to realize that. Arya was hip to that way before that shit went down. So her journey, even though she had to go through all this stuff, she already knew that people were awful.
And she spent the last four seasons prepping for it.
Right. No. So she basically trained to learn how to kill the people that would wrong her. Sansa had to learn that people are awful. But it's an amazing thing to see them finally come together and be on the same page.
I do love that every time her list gets mentioned, and everyone's like, what list? Oh, the people I'm going to kill. And everyone's like, they think she's joking. And then she laughs along back. I love that because it's like, no, that's a real list, guys.
Yeah, no, she's a sociopath. 100%. Like she.
Maybe that's why she's my favorite.
Yeah, no. I understand. No. Watching her fight Brianna Tarth, one of the coolest action sequences.
Say one of my favorite sequences from the show, or one of my favorite things, was the Brienne versus the Hound.
Oh, that's my great God. Scene.
And then when
God
they see each other in the season finale this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great.
And it's the first time I've ever seen Sandor Clegane fucking smile on this show.
Yeah, right? Somebody, again, go online, guys, and look up the 51 best tweets of Game of Thrones. And they do it for every episode. But season 7, it was just, people were on point. Like, the internet fucking scored. They said that Brienne the Hound acted like two estranged parents talking about their child.
Yeah. Oh, what's funny is that, like, she doesn't really want to be with either one of them.
No, not at all.
Like,
not
she's
at
got
all.
Her, she's got her own agenda. Yeah. But that fight was fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
God damn.
Like, it's one of those.
Even in the end when he's like, kill me. And she's like, nah, let's kill.
I'm just going to take your money and go to Braavos.
Yeah. Yeah. It is definitely one of those, pretty epic scenes.
And then I'm going to, for another favorite sequence, and I'm not, look, when I tell you what scene it is, you're going to be like, you're a deplorable human being, but I'm going to explain why.
It's the Sansa rape scene, isn't it?
No,
it is. No. Okay.
No.
All right.
No, it's the Theon rape scene. No, I'm kidding. No.
It's another rape scene in Game of Thrones.
No, but it's pretty fucked up. But the only reason that I say it's a favorite scene is because I was voxing you when it happened, and it made me feel things. I had the feels, guys, and not a good thing. But it was like they delivered this in such a way that I was like, motherfucker. So when Stannis burns his daughter.
Oh,
alive.
My God.
So the scene right before it where he comes into her room and he's like,
I need you to do something.
Yeah, I need you to do something for me. She's like, anything to help you. And you're like, oh, you fucking motherfucker. I know it's coming. You're an asshat. And this scene is breaking my goddamn heart right now because you're going to kill this kid. And like, she doesn't even realize. Like, mm-hmm. She just wants to help you because you're her father. And then the way that shit goes down, and she's like screaming out for her parents, and to the point where the mother, who's been wholly brainwashed this whole time, who finally is like, no, wait, this isn't right. And like that just, it was done so well.
Yeah.
And it's so fucked up.
It is one of the more, look, Game of Thrones.
And they were tasteful enough not to show little girl burning, yeah, thank Christ.
God damn it. Which, honestly, I was surprised.
You did have to hear it.
I was surprised.
No, the screaming was bad enough.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's one of those things too where you're just like,
nobody's coming to save her.
The kid burned. She died, right? We burned a kid alive? Okay, all right. We're still watching this show, right? We're all still on board with this.
Yeah.
No, it is hands down one of the, I don't even know how to describe how that made me feel. And you're right. You knew that shit was coming.
Yeah.
As soon as she was like, I want to help. I was like, bitch, don't you dare. Like, you don't know what these people are capable of. And then the fact that they did it. And I was one of those people where I was like, we need a plot convenience right now. Like, someone needs to save this child. Right. Bring in the dragons.
Yeah.
Bring in, like, whoever you need to bring in. Make this not happen, please.
Like even Ramsay's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Even I have standards.
Even Joffrey's like, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. That's a little rough for me.
And the fact that it's all for this, you know, to appease the Lord of Light. And then the next day when it's like, see, I was right. My lord, half the army abandoned us because you burned your daughter alive. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, your wife killed herself.
So there's
that. Yeah, and you're just like, yeah, no, you deserved all this shit.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That goes down. Yeah. And that made, like, I have such a weird, I'm in a weird place about the Red Witch, because she, like, most of the series, you're like, this bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you are such a cunt. And I understand, like, that you're, you know, all about the Lord of Light, and you believe you're doing the right thing. But then when she flees, and then she goes to Winterfell, and then helps bring Jon back, and then is like, no, I must bring these two together, and meets with Daenerys, and then is like, I'm gonna stay out of it. I've made mistakes. And you're like, fuck, I don't know how to feel about you now.
Yeah.
I still
want to
hate you.
Just take off your clothes.
You know, but it's still like, I still want to hate you because you burned this little girl, but you're kind of doing the right thing now.
Yeah, she's this weird anomaly where it's like she genuinely believes that what she's doing is for good. And look, there is no justification for it. Like, I'm with Sir Davos. I will never fucking forgive her for burning that child alive.
Yeah,
no. Like, I'm on it. Every time they see each other, I'm like, fucking kill her, Sir Davos. You fucking do that shit. I'm always on his side. But I get it. Like, we learned that she's been alive for fucking way too long.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that scene was supposed to give a little sympathy for her when they showed her take the necklace off and she's like 1,000.
Yeah. No, but she is. But that's essentially what it, I thought she looked good for 1,000. I don't know about you.
If you go by titty inches, she's at least 2,000.
I mean, her and the Night King should totally hook up.
That is a fucking power couple.
Ice and fire.
But yeah, no, she genuinely believes that what she's doing is right, and it clearly is ancient. She's been around for a very long time, and you know, I'm with you where I'm like, I hate you, but at the same time, like, you don't have to die yet. Like, I'm okay with you still being alive.
But it did make me curious, because when
Varys,
who is it? Yeah, when they Varys. Summon when they summon those the other of her order.
To help
Meereen.
Oh yeah.
And that chick's wearing the same collar. You're like, oh, is this like? Are they all like super old and disguise themselves? Like, that's I just want to fucking know more.
Yeah.
About their order.
And that was a weird scene too, because she showed up and like she basically was like, you're gonna fucking die, bro, and then bounced like. And then we never saw her again. We haven't seen her since. She literally just like...
She's in Volantis now.
No, but she basically shut Varys up for like the first time ever in like the history of Westeros, where he was like, the fuck did you just say to me? Yeah. And then... after he was trying to be all fucking... Yeah. And she like drops this knowledge on him and she's like, okay, bye! And she just disappears and you're like, wait, bitch, you got knowledge. Like, come back.
I need to know. I'm the spider.
My children.
His interactions with Tyrion.
Oh, they're the best. They're the absolute best.
Some of my favorite stuff.
Fuck everybody else. That is the power couple.
Can we get a buddy cop show with those two?
The buddy cop of Tyrion and Varys. 100%.
Just the imp and the spider. Weekdays.
Just their time in that city. Can we just cover that cop style? I don't know.
I love it. It's the best. Please tell everybody your favorite line of Game of Thrones, Mike.
I never told you how I was cut.
Nope, that's not his favorite line.
Nope, my favorite line is the dwarf lives until we find a cock merchant. When I heard it, I was just like, wait, what did he just say? I had to go back and watch it again. And then I had to like tweet about it, because it is single-handedly the greatest line I've ever heard in all of television. The dwarf lives until we find a cock merchant. And not, and a cock merchant, like, if you've never seen the show and you're like, what's that, like a pimp? No, no.
No, no,
you
no,
might
no,
think
no,
that
no.
might be the, no.
They sell severed cocks.
Yes, they just sell
severed
cocks.
Yeah, no, that's a thing in Westeros.
They're good luck charms, like rabbit's foot.
Yeah, no, it's a great line. And they honestly, like, that whole arc of those two just being alone, and it's fantastic. Like, they pair so, and actually, him and Varys are great, and then him and Bronn.
Oh, Bronn, those two, so
because those two are both like, they're literally the same person.
And actually,
and they just have bars.
That,
like,
that character is great, even when he goes off and he starts befriending Jaime. Like, you're like, fuck, these guys, like, he elevates Jaime. He really does.
He does. He absolutely does. He makes Jaime for sure.
Queen's Justice episode where they're attacking the caravan. That fucking attack is such a roller coaster. Because you're like, oh no, you can't kill Jaime. Don't kill Bronn. Oh wait, Bronn just fired at the dragon. Fucking kill Bronn.
Actually, I thought he was going to die.
I thought he was going to die too.
As soon as he jumped on that ballista, I was like, oh, he's fucking dead.
Yeah. I was like, Cersei's plan is not going to work right now. And actually, you know what? Fun fact, there were legit fans of Bronn that stopped talking to that actor because he shot a dragon. They were so offended that he actually shot a dragon that they stopped talking to him.
He didn't kill it.
They still say
they gave it a boo-boo.
He tried.
He did take it out of the air.
He tried.
Which is impressive, by the way.
Yeah, no, for sure. But Bronn, I agree with you that he absolutely elevates Jaime. Like, I was sad when he left Tyrion because those two are like, they're just fucking sarcasm on sarcasm. But him being paired with Jaime, I think that's one of the reasons where you're like, I don't know what to do with Jaime because Bronn makes him so fucking likable.
For Jaime, it was from the moment he was paired up with Brienne, and then when he gets paired up with Bronn again to like retrain him after his hands cut off, like that those story arcs for him are really like the turning point. Where you're like, fuck, I kind
of
like this
guy.
You're
a fan of Jaime at that point.
Yeah,
yep.
It's because a weird.
I'll tell you right now,
in.
It's somebody else with Jaime. It's not Cersei with Jaime anymore. Yeah. So it's like you're not tainted that much anymore.
Yeah. And Cersei, and he's been told this 1,000 times, but she is his anchor. Like, she is she's the one thing that stops him from being a halfway decent human being. Yeah. And that actually is one of the things I loved about season 7, because my theory is that Jaime is the one that actually kills Cersei. Because
I think that's like mostly everyone is,
you know what? A lot of people still think that Tyrion is going to do it. But I actually think that it's going to be Jaime, and I think it's going to be a prophecy thing.
Like
in
like a Jean Grey Wolverine, The Last Stand kind of way.
Well,
I think it's going to be more. I think it's going to be more of like he's going to kill her, and then he's going to either kill himself or die immediately after.
I don't know. I believe that he'll probably die, but I don't think he'll kill himself. This season more than any other season has shown that they are not on the same page.
Yeah.
And his honor means more to him than the relationship with him and Cersei. And I've been saying for almost the entire season from through halfway through season 6 that like she is going to do something that is, he's not going to be on board with. Cause he's signed on for every crazy fucking plot that she's devised in her mind.
You're already in the season, you already see his hesitation on a lot of things.
Sure. Well, for sure.
You know, blowing up the Sept of Baelor. And, Jaime comes into the coronation and he's just like, the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But like you said, when she's just like, but I've got an us inside me. And you're like, fuck.
Like, you conniving bitch. Business.
Playing him like a puppet.
I will say this too. That was a heartbreaking scene for me, is when he goes and gets his daughter back from Dorne.
Oh, yeah.
And I fucking knew when she kissed her on the fucking lips, I was like, somebody should have caught Wise right then. Like, that was not necessary. You keep your fucking lips to yourself. But the moment they get on the boat, and she's like, I know you're my father, and I love you. And then they hug, and they're like,
die.
God damn it. You're like, he finally gets acceptance from somebody, and then she dies in his arms.
Yep.
You're like, God damn you, Game of Thrones.
Yep. Yeah, it was one of those ones where, like, you saw it coming, but it still hurt when it came. Like,
And then when you were telling me that Mariella, is that her name?
Marcella.
Yeah.
That she gets her comeuppance. So I was waiting for this to be super horrific.
See, this is where we start to get into plot convenience.
Oh, wait,
and
Marcella,
this is when we start.
Jaime and Cersei's daughter?
No, not Marcella. I'm sorry. The
Oberyn's.
Oh, Ellaria.
Sorry, Ellaria. So you said that she gets her comeuppance in the most horrific way. So I was expecting something really fucked up. And while it is fucked up, I have issues with the scene because, and maybe I'm just a better sociopath than Cersei, but So she chains her to the wall, kisses her daughter with that same poison, who's also chained to the wall, and is like, you're going to watch her die, and you're going to stay in here with her dying corpse for the rest of your days, blah, blah, blah. Those chains are far too fucking long. Both of them could wrap the chain around themselves, break their own fucking necks, and be dead, punishment over, or they could slam their heads into the wall and break their own... Like, there are so many ways that they could counter that torturous end that I was just like, meh. I was like, if you want her, you guys have a rack. I know you got torturous shit in there. You better strap her down to where she can't fucking move, pin her goddamn eyes open, and make her watch. So, yes, I'm more fucked up than Cersei is, apparently. But I just...
Yeah, see, and when I saw it, none of that... Yeah, like, to me, it was the...
You were just like, that's fucked up. You weren't like, that's not how you do that.
No, I wasn't like, that's not how you torture someone. No, I was not like that, Mike.
Sorry, just don't ever vex me is what I'm saying.
Clearly. God damn it, Cersei, calm down. No, because when I watched it, I got everything. When you said that, I was like, yeah, no, I understand. But to me, it was the concept of the punishment, which I think, and you said this, you said like, well, they should have executed it better, which, yeah, they probably should have. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
The concept of the punishment is absolutely horrible. Right.
And I bought into the concept of the punishment, and I was like, nope, that's...
Didn't think about the execution.
Execution. I was like, no, you know what? Your plan works. The plan is fucked up enough for me.
And then Cersei puts that little icing on the cake when she says, have them change the torches frequently.
Yeah, but she said every 2 hours. You could kill yourself in 2 hours. I'm telling you, man, there was so much give on those goddamn chains. It would be easy to kill yourself.
Yeah, I didn't look at that at all. I literally just looked at the concept and I was like, Cersei, you fucking bitch. Yeah. That was it. That was all I thought.
Brace the neck, shorten the chains. I want her to enjoy this.
Like, but no, I mean, you're right. No, she absolutely should have just been plastered to the fucking wall with no movement whatsoever. And yeah, no, I agree.
Anyway, guys, there's so much more we could talk about, but we are out of time. We're over time.
We're over time. Yeah.
So we gotta end this.
I don't know if you know, but there's like 7 seasons of shows we tried to cover in an hour.
I mean, we can have another episode soon about this and maybe cover some more stuff. So once again, if you are a new listener on Hyper RPG, we appreciate you guys listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.
Yep.
And if you have thoughts or feels about the stuff that we've said tonight,
whatever they are, please let us know.
If Mike has a torture basement. Yeah.
If you think Mike needs help and counseling, just please let us know.
Donate to our Patreon. We'll put that money towards a psychiatrist.
It's not a matter of if I have a murder basement. It's just a matter of funding, really. I can't. I'm going to start a Kickstarter for it. No, if you have thoughts on what you heard tonight, or just tell us your thoughts on Game of Thrones, we love to hear it. You can hit me up at michael@jackofallnerdshow.com or on our Facebook, jackofallnerdshow.com. Also, go to our website, go to the contest page. If you got kids, enter for our back-to-school giveaway. The winner will be announced next week. That would be September 10th, I believe, Sunday, on our live show then. And you got anything?
I do. I'll actually be at Edwards Air Force Base on Friday. That show is at 8 p.m. If you need to, it's very far. So if you're not out there, I understand. But it's really cool. I get to perform for the troops, which is something I always love doing. So I'm very excited about doing that. So if you do want to come out for that, please just let me know. Just message me on Facebook or Instagram, and I'll let you know. And then I will also be in Victorville at a new spot. If you need directions or details for that, just check me out on Facebook, and I'll send those to you.
Awesome. Also, the Dark Crusader comic strip. We are coming up with 2 strips left in season 3, guys. So check that out. New strip comes out Tuesday. And for all our social media and other cool stuff, go to our website, jackofallnerdshow.com. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.